Well, that was good worship. It's always good, but that was good. Don't have much time, as I've said. We'll keep this shorter, but I want to just for a couple minutes delve into our past year and talk about some of the things that have happened. And I want us to talk very briefly about our theme for the year to come. I won't talk long about it because we're going to start that again in September. Our summer series is going to be a little different this year, but as always, we kick off our theme with the fall kickoff in September. This summer, I want to encourage you to come. We're going to have a good time. Pastor Dustin had a good idea for a sermon series entitled, Why Do We? And we're going to talk about why we do the things we do as a congregation, as a community. Why do we come and sing together? Why do we take an offering? Why do we baptize? Why do we do all these other things? And I may have mentioned this to you before. We're going to most likely have our older kids in with us because we're not sure about which rooms will be torn up when over the summer. So we said, why don't we do this and aim it at a grade four level? Because the great part is, and I think I may have shared this part, is when you aim it at grade three or four level, the adults learn too. You know, we all kind of maybe get our minds around grade three or four ideas, but you'd be amazed what grade three and four students get their minds around. I have a grade four student in the home, and it's amazing what stuff she talks about. So as a community, we will talk about these things. In the summer series, we're going to keep our services to about 45 minutes in the summertime and just really enjoy that chance to come around some of those common practices that we have. So return for that. But I want to talk real quick about the year in review. And we have a lot to be happy and excited and joyous about and things that God has done among us and through us and despite us, as we always talk about. Warren talked about the building project. That's one thing. It's very physical. And yet it's very much because the people of God have come together around that vision. And we thank you for that. If you're new in the last 6 months or so with us, you don't know that we started the fall with me leaving on sabbatical for 4 months. And I once again want to thank you as a congregation and as leadership for allowing me that opportunity for Sabbath rest. And I didn't realize how tired I was until I really left and tried to just rest and had to fight for the rest, but it was good. And on that rest season, it was a chance to rethink, and as I've shared before, to come up with what would be considered our new or refined or reminded to us a scorecard of why we exist as a church. I had gotten caught up, as pastors can and leaders can, and the people-pleasing aspect of being concerned about the revolving door or the back door of people leaving the church because this wasn't right or that wasn't right and this is not my preference or that's not my preference. There are times when people leave the church and you're sad and you wonder what you could have done better and there's things we could have done better. There's times when people leave churches just because they didn't hear the songs they wanted to sing or something along those lines. And I had gotten too caught up in trying to please everybody. And I know that's not my job, and it's not our job. We can't please everybody. We're not the same. We're not the right church for everybody. But we have to be true to what we're called to do. And we came back, and I talked with the elders, and we talked about this. What's our scorecard? And real quickly, the things we've talked about this year have been along the lines of the scorecard that God has called us to. The first thing is: are we creating more and deeper disciples of Jesus Christ? And we talked about that in January. We talked about, are we a church and a community that really raises people up to follow Jesus, to be transformed by Jesus and become more like him, and then to be on mission with Jesus? That's what discipleship is. So that's one of the important scorecards for us, is are we creating more and deeper disciples of Christ? The second is, are we a people who can articulate what the gospel is? And for us, we have defined the gospel as imperfect people, clinging to the perfect Christ, being made perfect by the Holy Spirit, and helping other imperfect people. So do we understand that? Our theme for last year was this idea of entrusted, living in and living out the gospel, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this gospel that is entrusted to us, we are called to allow out and to be on mission with that. But can we truly understand it? So this last year in the fall, Pastor Dustin very, very well took you through 1 John and this idea of the gospel, this gospel love of Christ. And then this last number of months, we've been going through the Epistle of Romans. And if any book in the New Testament really hunkers down and says, this is what the gospel is all about, this is what the gospel is, and this is what the gospel is not, it is the book of Romans. And hopefully we've walked out with a deeper understanding of the beauty of the gospel that we are the recipients of, this good news of a God who can save us despite the fact that we can't save ourselves, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much work we put into it, no matter what. And then out of that, are we people who can be gospel storytellers? Can I, in my everyday path of life, walk alongside my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, whoever, and explain the gospel as it has broken into my life to get a hold of the shame and the sin and the hurt and the filth of my life to wash it clean? And then can I talk about it breaking through my life and helping me past those hurts and shames and sins? And then can I give witness to the gospel breaking out of my life on mission, which very much parallels our definition of a disciple, these three aspects. So we want to be about those things, and we will disappoint some because we don't sing this song, that song. We don't do this event or that event. We don't do this program or that program. And as leaders, we said we're okay with that. As long as we're making more and deeper disciples, as long as we are people who can articulate the gospel, and as long as we are people who can give story of the gospel in our own life. And that's what we continue on into the future. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, because I think those three things are eternal as much as we are eternal on this earth until we are glorified and go to be with our God in heaven. So we're going to continue on those things. But this last year, we have seen lots of good things happen. And I just want to quickly just point out a few of these bigger stroke items that we've seen. This last week has been encouraging for me. Sunday after we had our grad banquet, I had just a number of conversations with different people who reminded me of the things that we have to be joyous about. Not that I was struggling with that. It was a good day, and it was a wonderful celebration of our grads. But as I walked away, I was hit by conversations with two or three people in the building and in the parking lot that just said, God is doing some amazing things here. And I walked away going, yeah, he is. And then Thursday, I think this week, one of the days this week, Wednesday, someday along the week, I had a chance to be on a phone call or Skype call with a couple pastors from a church in North Dakota who had gotten a hold of me and said, we were told by a couple people we need to chat with you about some of the things you're doing and some of the things you're seeing. And as I talked to these guys, I was encouraged by what they were doing in their church, and they were encouraged by what's happening here. And I shared some stories, and as I shared the stories, I just thought, man, God's doing great stuff. And let me just summarize it this way. I could tell you stories forever, and I won't, because I don't have the time. But the general overview, broad stroke point that I want to make here is that we're seeing more organic, natural ministry and growth happening here. And you may have been in the room sometime along the way over the last couple of months where I've talked about this, maybe not. But what we're seeing is that this ministry is happening from the grassroots up. And Ron and I were talking about that this week and saying it's wonderful when it doesn't come from the top down, it comes from the grassroots up. We have less consumerism and more active involvement of service amongst our people. We have a broadened ownership of what it means to be owners of the ministry that we have here, that it's not a ministry that belongs to the pastoral staff and the elders of the church. It's a ministry that belongs to all of us. And with that broadened ownership comes natural leadership. We have leadership just rising from different places and different ministries, and it is amazing. We have people coming to our church by invitation, not from website and ad in the newspaper and a wonderful sign out on the road here. I don't know, I think we're somewhere over about the 50 to 50.5% mark where people are coming into the room here on Sunday morning because they have a connection with somebody from our community first. And that may not sound like much to you, but to me, sitting where I sit, watching what I watch, and seeing the outcome of that, it is amazing. Because what happens is when somebody comes in connected already, assimilation of that person into our body is streamlined like you cannot believe, to the point where I don't even have to worry about it. People come in already connected to somebody, and usually somebody's, They're connected to more than one person. They're connected to a small community of people. And when that happens, assimilation, as far as a project or as far as a program or as far as something we have to do in the office, becomes very minimal, if not gone at best. And then what happens is instantaneous involvement, that people don't have to come and earn their right to be involved in the ministry here. If they come and they're following Christ, and at times if they come and they're struggling to know they should follow Christ, there's still an opportunity to minister to one another. And they're seeing that happen. You don't have to earn the right to serve God here. You don't have to be a part of this church for years and get a title. Some people have titles. Some people have positions. But you don't have to have one of those titles or positions to be involved in the ministry here, to care and to do what God has called us to do. If you are a follower of Christ, you doggone better be doing it, because that's what he called you to. Now, I want you to know that this year I've seen that happen in our children. I've seen children caring for children. I've seen youth caring for youth. Our young adults are all around, but most of them, they like to sit over here. Our young adults saw a need and they rose to the occasion and read the ministry reports for all of our different ministries, but read the young adults. It's exciting. They saw a need to reach out to their own and to help connect them, and they've been doing it. And it's, talk about grassroots leadership coming up. I don't even know who the leaders are from day to day of that group. Doesn't matter. Everybody in that group's a leader. And that's a beautiful thing. I've seen it happen in middle-aged families, families with children caring for families with children. I've seen it in empty nesters caring for empty nesters, and I've seen it in seniors caring for seniors. And I'm not joking when I say this. I'm not stretching the truth. I could give you example after example of people caring for people in their phase of life and people caring for those who aren't in their phase of life. I've seen our seniors caring for young single moms. I'm excited. I don't know where it's going to go, so I don't want to put too much out on the table. But our young adults want to see their ministry stretch this year. And one of the areas they want to stretch is into the seniors of our church. Amen. Yeah, who said that? The senior side said that. I agree, Margaret. Amen. That, you know what? One of the greatest things we have is that we are a diverse group of people. And one of the greatest things we have is that we continue to be such. A few weeks ago when I talked about our diversity, I asked you how many people were over 60, how many people were under 30, how many people were in between. It was about even. And I'm glad we continue to grow in that. Hurting people are helping hurting people. Growing people are helping growing people. And we want to continue that on. Amidst the chaos of building projects around here and other things and grassroots growth that we can't even begin to get our hands on to keep control of, which is great because we don't need to, growth is happening. Not only are we growing wider with more people, we're growing deeper in how people are growing, and that's what we want to see. Now it's time that we continue to put the things into practice that we've talked about and looked at. We spent the last year looking at the gospel, and it's time that we put the gospel into practice. And our theme for this year, Dustin gave it away, but it's sent. One word, sent. Well, it's one word with a few other words. Across the room, across the road, across the world. We want to be God's people sent to wherever he sent us to. I've been inspired this last year, or about a year and a half, by a book I read called The Mission of God by Christopher Wright, a British theologian and professor. And I read this for a course I was taking, and the book just hammered me. It took what I already knew and actually just made me see it in a different way. And Christopher Wright's whole point is that we do not have a mission because the Bible tells us to. We have a Bible because God has a mission. And the Bible is there to tell us about God's mission. We don't find mission in here. We have this because of mission. And God is a sent God. And over this next year, we're going to take the year to walk through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation once again, differently than we did with the story. But we're going to take a broad stroke view of scripture to see God as a sending God. God the Father sent the Son. God the Father and Jesus the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit send us as the church. In a minute, I'm going to read you our theme passage here, but I want you to be challenged by that. That God is a sending God, and who does he send? He sends us, his church. And I've been reading a lot of different stuff, and I've been going back, and I've read Christopher Wright's book, and it's about 800 pages, and I've read it 3 times. And I read a lot, but I don't read a lot. I don't read all of a book ever. And I've read this thing 3 times in the last year and a half. And every time I'm just amazed that God from Genesis on was seen as a sending God. And what I see in that, what I took me a year into the study to realize is that whenever God is sending, and don't get me wrong, social justice is good, physical help is wonderful. But when God sends his people, he sends them not to task and not to justice and not to problems. He sends them to people who have problems. And he sends them with the hope of the gospel. So as we are sent, we're not sent to go across the world to build a water well, although that's good and we have done that and we will continue to do that. We do that that the people might know that we care for their physical needs, that they might understand that we care for their spiritual need. And as we do that, we can bring the hope of the gospel into their lives. So God is a sending God. He sends people to people. He sends people to people with the gospel attached. And that is the call that we are answering this year. If you have your Bibles, take them out to John chapter 20. We're going to just read 19 to 23 here, a few verses. One theme verse is 19 to or 20, verse 21. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The evening of the first day after they had gone to the tomb and found that he was raised. And the scripture says this, starting in verse 19 of chapter 20 of John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, now we always talk about this, right? The door's locked, he comes, he probably walked through the wall, so maybe this is why he says, peace be with you, don't freak out, I just walked through a wall, but I'm here. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And he says this. He says, and again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So he comes in this room and he's sitting there. He says, okay, don't freak out. I'm here. And he says, once again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Short verse, packs a powerful punch. All of the Old Testament leads up to Jesus coming. The God, the Father sending the Son is all of the Old Testament history leading up to the moment of the incarnation and then really hitting the pinnacle at the moment of the crucifixion and really, really hitting the pinnacle at the moment of the resurrection. And Jesus says, just as God did all that to get me here for this point, for your sake, I'm now sending you. Catch that. The fullness of the Old Testament, God sending, coming to its fruition. And Jesus says, just as that all was done for me to come now, all that power is now for you to go. And I don't know how many times I've said, this is the most pinnacle verse, the most pivotal verse in scripture. I think this might be it right here. Where he says, all this leading up to this moment, and guess what? Now I'm going to send you in the same way. I don't know, are you moved by that challenge? Peter was. Up until that point, Peter had spent 3 years with Jesus, very intimately in the inner three, and yet he is now walking just out of 3 days of shame for having denied the Father. And when God, through Christ, lays this challenge on him, and for these 3 years plus 50 days, Peter becomes the greatest mouthpiece for the gospel ever. Spirit is on him. He spends a little more time with Jesus. Jesus leaves. Spirit comes on him again. He becomes the great preacher who converts thousands. Now here's the challenge for us, folks. The question is not whether you are sent or not. The question is, where are you sent? That's the first question. Where are you sent? It's not a matter of whether. If you're a follower of Christ, you are sent. Whether it's across the room to meet somebody else's need, across your road, across the world, you're sent. So where are you sent? That's the first question. First and most powerful question is, where are you sent? Not whether or not you're sent. That's not even a question we consider. But a second question we need to consider is, are you being obedient or not? If God has sent you, which he has, if you're a follower of him, and you've asked the question where, and he's told you, and you don't go, you're not being obedient. And you can argue with me six ways from Sunday, but it's true. You're not being obedient to him. So come and argue if you want. I'll just say, you're wrong. 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 You're sent. If you're a follower of Christ, you are sent. You are sent somewhere. Question is, are you listening to God as to where it is, and are you being obedient to it? Now, in a moment, I'm going to have, and I'm already over my time. I'm sorry, Ron, for business. We'll speed through the business. Business is easy. Let me just say real quick, I want this year to be a year where we pray about where we're sent. And I want people to be moved by God's Spirit as you realize you're sent. And I hope that sometime through this year that we have people arise and say, God is sending me somewhere. And we will gather around them to say, well, let us help you get there. That may be across the room. That may be across the road. That may be across the world. But if God lays on your heart in this year, or he has, and you've been disobedient to listening to him, and you say, God has called me to some place in the world or to some group of people or to some neighborhood or whatever, we want to be there with you to help you get there. And I want us to truly seek this out. So for this year, we're going to pray together. Now, quickly, not quickly, I don't want to rush her. Carla, where are you? Carla, come on up here. Carla Grunwald. How many people know Carla? Raise your hand. Wave it, Carla. This is Carla. Carla's going to tell us about a chance she has to be sent across the world. Not across the room, across the world. Tell us what's going on.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I'm Carla Grunwald. I'm the daughter of Murray and Robin. And I'm currently attending Prairie Bible College down in Three Hills, Alberta. And I'm in the Intercultural Studies program. And so I finished 2 years there already, and this upcoming fall, I'm entering the third year, and I get to do an internship for my program. And so for this internship, I'm going to be traveling for 8 months abroad. And so there's a team of five of us who are going, and for the first month, we're going to be in Asia, and we're traveling to a bunch of different countries. And in each country, we partner with a mission organization and just kind of get to see how they interact with the culture they're in and how they do mission there and their theology and missions. And then for 6 months, our team's going to be split up, and we're each in different countries. And for those 6 months, I'm going to be in Europe and in the Balkan area. I'm going to be near Albania, working with Albanian people. And so I'm going with Send International, and I'm partnered with a missionary couple who's there. And yeah, basically for those 6 months, I'm just learning about the culture. I'll be learning the language. I'll be working with the missionaries. I'll be learning about what they do and getting involved with the ministries they're with. Which is really exciting. I'm excited to go. And then for the last month, our team gets together and we go around Africa as well. So it's going to be 8 months, lots of traveling. But I'm really excited. It's a really cool opportunity that the school has for us to just get exposure for the different cultures in the world and the way that different people are doing ministry and mission. And yeah, so I'm going to be around after the service and all summer. If any of you guys want to talk to me or ask me questions, I'd love to talk about it. I have information letters, I have prayer cards, and for the trip, I need to raise $16,000. And so if any of you would like to help me out, that's sweet. Any large or small sum would be helpful, and prayer support as well. So feel free to talk to me anytime about it, and thanks for letting me share.
Stay right here a moment. As Carla has been in her schooling, I know one of the things she's been challenged with is God sending me? Is God calling me to missions? And this is a chance for her to go and to experience that. So we want to support her in that, and we're excited for that. She's answering God's call to be sent. She still doesn't know where long-term in life that is to be determined, but we want to support her while she does that. She didn't want to ask about the money part, but that's the hard part. She needs to raise this money, and it's a worthy cause. So go check out her stuff after the service and support her financially if you can. But for sure, let's support her in prayer, and we want to do that right now. And I'm just going to do this as our closing prayer of our sermon. So worship team, you guys can come as we're praying. We'll sing our last song. and then we'll move into the business section here in a few minutes. But we're glad Carla is being sent across the world, not because we want to get rid of her, but because we are thankful that she's being obedient to Christ's call in her life. So let's pray for her. Let's pray for us as a challenge to be sent this year, and then let's sing our last song as a worship to God. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, and Lord, I just thank you for Carla, and I thank you for her heart for ministry. I've seen that grow through the years as a youth leader and the young adults group, and now with her schooling and seeing her desire to serve you wherever you call her. So, Father, just as we all need to be obedient to the call you've laid in our life, you are you're calling Carla to be obedient to not only go, but to trust you and how to go. So, Father, we gather around her and say we lift her up in prayer. We will do what we can to help her financially. And, Father, we just simply pray that as she goes, she would feel your hand, your presence, that she would feel your guiding spirit in her to help her to determine what area of ministry you will have for her future. Father, allow each one of us to feel that as we pray through this year and as we walk through this year. Allow us to be obedient to your sentness in our life, that we would be sent to people with the hope of the gospel, and that we would never forget that that is what you have called us to. So as Carla goes in the fall, we simply pray that you will go ahead of her and that she would find you where she goes, that you will already be at work there, and that she will attach her heart to your heart for those people in that place. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.